You are listening to the Hodges Huddle, where we discuss all things in the wide world of sports. Here's your KLSU sports team.
Welcome into the Hodges Huddle. I'm your host, Andre Champagne, and today I am joined by Michael Poggi and Raven Freeman. How is everybody doing?
Man, I'm great. You know, Calm Little Tuesday. Shout out Jaden. What's going on?
Shout out Jaden.
I'm good. The weather's been kind of trash in BR, and it's dead week, but overall, finals are going smooth, so I can't complain.
Right. We're getting down to the core of it, y'all. We have 2 weeks left.
Yeah,
but
man.
This is our last podcast of the semester, sadly. It's been a wonderful semester, and we appreciate all our listeners every week.
Awesome.
So without further ado, let's get into it. Like I said, today's a calm little Tuesday, so we're going to have a calm little podcast for our last one, and we're going to give a little draft recap from this past weekend. Many LSU players were drafted, and I believe, like I said, almost everyone, I think, but Greg Clayton and Omar Spates.
Omar
got signed.
Yeah, okay. Rams. Nice. Omar Rams. Ram.
Just Greg Clayton, then. Everyone but him signed with a UDFA with the team. So, Jaden Daniels selected second to the Washington Commanders at the second overall pick. Lots of people are thinking that he is their next franchise player, and others are saying, you know, maybe he's not in the best situation in Washington, D.C. So my first question is, do you think Jaden Daniels will go and make the Commanders competitive right away?
Go ahead.
Okay. Not right away. It's hard being a rookie quarterback in the NFL, but I would say around, like, week four, he's going to start to, like, showcase those qualities like he did at LSU as far as, like, his mobility and deep ball, but it's definitely going to take some adjusting. But with that being said, the Commanders had a great draft. They drafted a good offensive lineman, some linebackers, and a good tight end. So with them being that poverty franchise, they were able to pick and choose a lot of good players. The NFC East is a hard division, especially with the Eagles and Cowboys in there. Yeah. But based off how former quarterback Sam Howell performed with all the interceptions and going out there acting like he can't play football, I feel like Jaden is going to take them a lot farther than he did.
Yeah.
I mean, Jaden is going to do what Jaden does.
Yeah.
What you're going to get from him is what you saw from all these past years. What he shows is what you're going to get. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think that their defense is already going to be solid. They made the right coaching changes. And I think that their defense is going to be fine. You've already got, you know, a good solid wide receiving core. You got Scary Terry. You're already throwing
Samuel, I believe.
Yeah, you're already throwing to guys who are NFL proven.
Yes, they're
players.
They're solid. It's not
exactly
like, yeah.
So, you know, it's, you had good wide receivers at LSU. You're going to have good wide receivers here in Washington. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a great opportunity. It's going to come down to that offensive line being able to protect him and seeing how he does in the pocket, because you never know how he'll be in the pocket.
Yeah, and I agree. I think Jaden Daniels is going to go and make the Commanders competitive right away, and I think they get a bad rep for their pass. And now with Dan Quinn getting kind of a second chance at the head coach, tenure. I think the defense is going to be absolutely elite. They were very good last year, but I think they're going to be even better this year. And then the franchise itself, has been missing a puzzle piece over the past few years. And then you kind of look at it now, and it's like it was the quarterback position over all those years, and now they filled it with Jaden Daniels. So I think when you look and see how many teams they were competitive with last year, you kind of realize that they're way better than their record showed. And then Ron Rivera was also just a big problem.
The schemes
was just all sort of messed up.
Mad love to Rivera, though.
Yeah, Rivera,
hell of
great
respect
coach,
to the guy.
But the game's starting to pass him up.
Yeah.
Still got Eric Bieniemy, though. Jaden Daniels and Eric Bieniemy are going to be a hell of a thing to watch.
Yeah, that'll be.
And so that's all I have to say. But what can we expect from him in his first year?
I mean, man, I think you could just expect him to do his best out there. He's a rookie. It's going to be hard for them rookies to go out there in a new scheme with all that, but I think he's going to be totally fine. I think you can expect him to fight for a division championship this year. I think you can expect him to have a C.J. Stroud type of season, bringing a team out of nowhere
and then making
into something.
Better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like I said before, it's just going to come down to him sitting in that pocket, taking those easy throws when they're there, learning how to slide in serious situations.
Yeah, he has to learn how to slide.
But I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he's going to accomplish big things. I mean, he's even up there with, you know, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Like, there's a lot of options, but I feel like he could accomplish that goal.
Yeah.
The Commanders went 4-13 last season, so I haven't seen Jaden bringing home, like, 7-8 wins.
Yeah. And I like you said, I don't think it would be crazy to say that Offensive Rookie of the Year is something that he could accomplish. Mm-hmm. But then you, like, really have to look at it and see how many, you know, offensive players there are that, you know, could win that award. I mean, the top 15 picks were straight offensive guys. So,
right.
I'll say he's capable to throw 3,300, 3,400 yards and then rush for more than 700 yards. Right now, the line is set at 23.5 total touchdowns. I think he hammers that. I think he's going to get around 30. But for Daniels, he's a guy that can set the bar very high. He holds himself to a really high standard. And I think, you know, everything that we're talking about is doable because you have a very solid wide receiver core, like you had mentioned. These are all guys that, you know, have experience under their belt.
Right.
And another thing about, if you're a great quarterback, you're going to go and make the receivers even better than they are. So, moving on, though, Malik Nabers became a New York Giant at the sixth pick as they add a weapon for Daniel Jones, who seems to be their guy at this point. So as far as the New York Giants being so poor last year, they had a decent draft, made some additions in the offseason defensively. So do you think Malik Nabers was really the big addition that this Giants team needed? And do you think he can kind of compete or is he what they needed to go out and compete on offense with how much they struggled last year?
Man, I feel so sorry for you, Malik Nabers.
Oh, man.
I feel so sorry for you.
I mean.
I can't get on.
No sour code. I mean.
I can't get on the Daniel Jones train. I haven't been on it. I never will get on it. It's a train you don't want to hop on.
It's the opposite of the Polar Express.
Yeah, it's not the Polar Express. I don't know, man. Malik's going to do fine in the NFL. He's going to have a great NFL career. He's a great wide receiver. I just don't know if I think they'll have opportunities.
His home is.
Yeah. I think the Giants will have opportunities to go get guys, and because of having a receiving core, but man, you need a quarterback and Daniel Jones ain't one.
I mean, yeah, just piggybacking off what Michael said, I'm actually going to go with, yes, I feel like Malik could slowly try to turn this franchise around, turn this team around, but it all starts with Daniel Jones. He has some reliable seasons, wide receivers last season, and he just couldn't come up with, like, a method for his madness on why he was playing so poorly. Now, don't get me wrong. If these two form a connection and he's able to get the ball in his hands, then I feel like this could be, like, a dynamic duo. But do I see that happening? Little to no. I just have a little bit of faith because Malik is such a clutch receiver, and I hate to see him go down like this.
Yeah.
But, I'm just trying to speak of the best.
It's those damn Giants and the LSU wide receivers. I mean,
yeah.
But the thing about Odell is he had one of the best
quarterbacks. Yeah, he had Eli Manning.
Eli Manning. And so
Malik stuck with bum Daniel Jones.
Right.
Yeah, and here's the thing. as far as the Giants offense goes, Daniel Jones gets a horrible rep. Obviously, Michael doesn't think he's very good. But, well, last year before the injury, this is a guy that really did lead them to the playoffs. I mean, he had a great season. You can't deny it. And he didn't have much help outside of Saquon. I mean, your best offensive weapon was Darren Waller, and bro's about to retire.
Yeah,
so, like now you look at it, that comes with Malik Nabers, who can play the slot receiver. He can play the Z. I think he's going to start slow, but I think he's going to be a lot better than what people are expecting from him in just the first season. I think a lot of people are like, saying, hey, Daniel Jones is going to be holding him back. I don't think it's going to be so much that. I think he's going to probably be slow no matter what to transition to the NFL. Right. But I think he's going to get there. But
yeah,
moving on to another kind of another topic here. Do you think the Chargers should have went with Malik Nabers, or do you think that Joe Alt was the pick that they had to make?
I think they definitely missed out, especially with them having the higher pick. I mean, it's just kind of like money in your hand. I mean, we all know Joe is an elite offensive lineman, but it's like the Chargers wide receiver room, they struggled a little bit too. So I feel like they gave everybody up. Yeah, and I feel like that's where Malik could have fit in perfectly. I just don't understand the method to their madness either.
Yeah. I mean. What do you think?
I was rooting for Malik.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Chargers.
I was like just praying that he would be.
I mean,
a
they
Charger.
Would. That would have been a super fun duo to watch.
I told my roommates I was like, Malik is a Charger for sure.
Here's my thing though. Like, if you don't mind me, going. I think with this year's class being so deep as far as the wide receiver position, I think it's better that they should have gone Joe Alt at five. Because I mean.
Really?
Here's my reasoning. They still were able to get Ladd McConkey, who is exceptional at the wideout position.
Yes.
And he's going to go and be great no matter what. And so would have Malik. But here's my thing. I think getting the best offensive lineman in the draft and then getting a little bit of a drop-off from the best receiver in the draft or one of the best receivers in the draft is better with going with Malik and then getting a really huge drop-off at the offensive line position, because I mean you're looking at this is going to be your franchise guy in Joe Alt as far as the line goes, and he's very young. You kind of have to just look at it that way. But what do you kind of expect from Malik Nabers in that first year?
I hope he does. You know, I hope he does.
I mean,
well, it's
just a guess.
It's all time will tell. I just don't know how this Daniel Jones connection is going to work.
Yeah, I agree.
But I hope Malik, you know, keeps his head straight, keeps his mind right. And,
yeah, keep it positive. I mean, look at Justin Jefferson. When he got in the league, nobody thought that Kirk Cousins was going to be great.
Exactly.
Right?
So just go do your thing. You know, everybody, you know what you're capable of. You know yourself better than anybody else. So I think he'll be all right. I think he's going to, you know, get at least 10 touchdowns. So
okay. We'll see how it does. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, if Daniel Jones is able to get him the ball, just kind of like Michael just said, I expect great things, but what's the odds of that happening? Sorry, Malik. I actually had 11 touchdowns, though, because I have some faith in Daniel
11's
Jones.
A lot for a receiver. People don't realize
NFL,
that is a lot.
It is a lot, yeah.
I think Malik is going to be the second or third best receiver in his draft class, which is just a testament to how good the other receivers are living with the quarterback situation.
Right.
I mean, you look at Odunze, and he is going to be well off. And that's of course, if Caleb Williams is who we expect him to be. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to get all of the targets.
Yeah.
Like, they have
every
nobody else.
Every single target.
Exactly. And then I expect Nabers gets about 800 to 900 receiving yards with 8 touchdowns. Now, is he going to be another LSU guy that can go and get 1,000? That's the big question. Obviously, we're all rooting for that. But then you look at the quarterback situation, and nobody's had it quite this bad like he did. So, finally, though, one of the biggest stars from this LSU team was drafted at 23rd overall. Brian Thomas Jr. was selected by the Jaguars, who had seemed to eye Thomas for a good minute throughout the draft process. And so Trevor Lawrence will have another receiver to work with after the departure of Calvin Ridley. So how good of a landing spot do you think this is for BTJ? And how complimentary will him and Christian Kirk's game bounce off each other?
Man, I think this is a great spot for him. I was really happy that he landed in there, Duval. But, you know, they seem to love us for some reason.
Three players to the Jags.
I mean, I almost put that in a question, but that would have been a whole hour of us talking about Mason Smith on second round.
That's crazy. But
I mean, all the defensive linemen, they're going to walk in and they're going to see Matt House in the room and they're just going to probably just wince at him.
Right.
Absolutely just maybe even spit somewhere in his direction. But what do you think? I mean, just Christian Kirk.
I think that the wide receiver room in for the Jaguars has gotten so much better now.
I agree.
And so now you got a deep wide receiver core. You already have a pretty good quarterback. He's been underwhelming in the NFL, but still solid quarterback. And I think that just opens up him more opportunities for himself. He's not going to get a ton of targets, but
right.
because Christian Kirk and, you know, Calvin Ridley,
Zay Jones,
they're all going to be there. So it's like
Ridley is now with the Titans.
Oh,
now.
my fault.
But he's going to be wide receiver too now. Like,
yeah,
there's no doubt about it.
So you're going to have opportunities there. So I think that's good.
Yeah, I love BTJ in Florida. This is just a recipe for success, in my opinion. Lawrence now has two reliable, fast wide receivers who know how to adjust in difficult situations and get open, which is what I feel like the team lacked last season. I mean, I think they're going to complement each other very well.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is one of the best spots that BTJ could have landed when you go and see how good of a quarterback you get and how the Jaguars are on the come up. I mean, that team has really surprised a lot of people. Very underwhelming last season. Kind of just to finish things off, they didn't look so great to end the season, but I think Brian Thomas being a deep threat as well as Christian Kirk having a big route tree, it's going to cause a lot of problems for secondaries in the NFL. And I think Thomas is going to establish himself not only as a wide receiver two in the NFL, but for long-term here in Jacksonville. I think that's a very good landing spot.
Yeah, he'll be there for a while.
Right. Now just kind of moving on to the general topics of the draft, this is going to be a fun one. What was your take on the Atlanta Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. at the 8 overall pick when they needed an edge rusher and they already have Kirk Cousins on a supermax deal?
Easily the dumbest decision of the draft. Yeah. I mean, kind of bouncing off what you just saying, like looking at Penix specifically, look how much he's accomplished throughout his college career just to end up a backup essentially. Backup. Also, we talked about on the Sunday show, as a team that needs help in really all areas, like you go it's with the
Falcons,
quarterback position, like
in every other area.
What was the point about? And then, like,
you don't even have a receiver, like,
but the quarterback
like
position.
That all you had to do was not draft a quarterback, and
you would have probably, you would have been okay.
Hey, look,
I mean, the only hope I have for Penix, I mean, Cousins is coming off an injury, so maybe if he starts off slow, they'll be like, oh, throw Penix in there. But it's like, what are the odds of that?
Super and max,
like,
though.
He's a mean, and then he's on contract.
Hey,
so
Saints
like,
fans, though.
Yeah, Saints fans.
I was pumped. I was stoked. Oh, yeah. I was so happy to
win.
What was that reaction like?
Man, well, here's the thing. It's just like she was saying, you have everything on the on your draft
board. It's in
front of you. Like, yeah, you just had to go get something that wasn't a quarterback.
Right.
You had all these holes that you needed to fill throughout the offseason. You filled a big one by getting a quarterback in Kirk Cousins. And then in your first round draft pick, you take a quarterback. It just didn't make sense to me.
A quarterback that's injury prone.
Well, it just didn't make sense to me anyways.
Very old, but
but you got Kirk Cousins and you signed him to like $180 million and like
you're going to be paying him till he's
120 of them is guaranteed.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's like, I don't know.
I agree.
Sweet.
Yeah, being a Saints fan, I remember watching his pick, and I just went, no way. I was like, no way they just did that.
I started clapping. It was awesome.
But not only that, it's an absolute slap in the face to Kirk Cousins, who is not only on a supermax contract,
you know,
but he's playing the best football of his career right now.
Yeah, but maybe they do something, you know, kind of like a Jordan Love type of thing.
Maybe so, but the Falcons find themselves wondering so many times why they are always never good, and it's because they do not address the position of need. That shows in the draft. The GM, I don't even want to look up his name. He's that irrelevant right now, but super questionable for doing that.
Did you see the video?
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Blank was like, what are you doing?
That was hilarious.
But I think not going with a guy like Latu or Dallas Turner, going to come back to haunt the Falcons for maybe years.
Yeah,
awesome. And like you said, well, like I said, you have to wonder about Penix's age as when Cousins, no matter what, they have to pay Cousins. And when he's off of contract, Penix is going to be 28 years old. And he's injury prone. There's no question about that. You can't deny it. Mm-hmm. Still very successful. I'm not taking away anything from his success. But that's something you have to look at when you're an NFL franchise. But what do you think about the Chicago Bears' first few picks?
Great draft.
In getting not only their future quarterback, but then another elite receiver in Rome Odunze, who will play alongside Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. I mean, that is stacked.
Yeah,
great draft. Sorry, yeah. Raven. Great draft. Stay healthy.
Yep.
I'm gonna keep this one quick. Yeah. Great draft. Stay healthy. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're coming off. You know, this is another poverty franchise. They know they get some.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. And then, like, when they drafted Odunze, I don't know why I didn't expect that, but I was like, oh, it's starting to click. Like, this season is actually going to be night and day. I feel bad for Bears fans, because I feel like they always have, like, these good drafts, and then it's like, oh, the same stuff. But I actually feel like this draft could be, like, a turnaround season for them. This is a team I expect to have, like, a big turnaround like the Texans did.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say this was the story of the first round. Not only, you know, obviously the Bears win the first round just from those two picks alone.
Yeah, 100%.
And then with having an elite receiver and route runner in Odunze, mm-hmm. who can also lose this, you know, secondary vertically, the Bears are now in contention for one of the best receiving rooms in the entire league.
I agree.
And that may be biased, but
no, that's
if Caleb Williams is a real deal like everyone says he is, dude, this is going to
it's gonna be
a
great.
New age for the Bears. It's a new age. Like,
but it's going to take time.
It is.
It's going to take time.
It's the coaching that has failed this organization for so long.
I'm also question mark on their defense a little bit.
Their defense has made some moves.
I know. It's still a question mark. Because it took them a lot to get off the field last year.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. But I think they're going to be fine. I mean, especially if Caleb Williams is the real deal, like, you know, he's supposed to be, then the Bears, like you said, are going to be good.
Yeah.
They're just not going to be good right away.
You know, obviously, I don't expect them to go and make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, 100%.
But I think they could go and, you know, be one of those wild card teams
if
anything. But next up, I have to, you know, we have to talk about this guy.
Your boy.
He's a hometown guy. But what do you think of all the Keon Coleman pick from the Bills to begin the second round? And have you been able to see we'll go on to that after, but what do you think about that pick just in general for the Bills?
I mean, he's a stud. It's a good pick. They, you know, you lose a receiver in Diggs. You get another flashy little receiver, fast, go up and grab the ball. Good wide out. So I thought that was a good pick. Good spot. Good landing spot for him, too.
Yeah.
Hope he likes the cold.
No lie.
I mean, hey, he played in Michigan 2 years, so I think he'll be all right.
Yeah,
I mean,
he should be fine.
Yeah, I love this pick. I mean, I'm pretty sure we've all seen the memes after Diggs left. It's like, oh, who is a wide receiver on the Bills? Oh, who does Josh Allen have to throw to? And I feel like the Bills kind of, like, shut the haters up. I feel like Keon Coleman's going to do great in Buffalo, especially Josh Allen throwing him the ball.
Yeah.
I feel like that's chef kiss.
And I think one thing about Keon Coleman is he's not going to go and complain about the quarterback he has. I mean, when he was at Michigan State.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I forgot the Michigan State quarterback. I was throwing him ducks every game.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, he went and made him look good. So,
right.
I think Buffalo is getting an absolute stud, but also just a hell of a person in Keon Coleman. And that's something maybe, you know, there's question marks that come in with Stephon Diggs, you know, as far as character issues and maybe just, you know, not liking Josh Allen. You saw the fusses on the sidelines. But, you know, with losing Stephon Diggs, I think Coleman is very appreciative that he's going to have one of the league's best quarterbacks throwing to him. And he's going to be, you know, willing to work with Allen and building that chemistry rather than kind of tearing it down. But I know I said Keon's from my city, Opelousas, but I know that he's super humble. He's going to give everything to this organization. And so I think that Bills fans are like, they couldn't be getting anyone better as far as somebody that loves the culture. You know, their fan base is amazing. And I think they really do deserve somebody like this who's going to give them everything for that organization. So I'll say just the press conference stuff, that was super funny. I don't know what y'all thought about that.
He's very bubbly, has a good personality. I feel like I feel like the light kind of turned off in Buffalo, and I feel like Keon's going to bring that sort of light to this team. Yeah.
I agree. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he's going to be great.
Yeah,
I think
he's going
to be good.
All right, so this is kind of a question for us too, Michael. Obviously, you too. But we're going to take this more to heart. What was y'all take on the New Orleans Saints taking Spencer Rattler in the fifth round.
I hope your reaction was the same as mine, because I was low-key stoked. I low-key loved that pick.
Andre said, okay.
And here's why I love that pick. You're in the fifth round. You've already done a great job getting the lineman that you needed. Mm-hmm. Then you go out and you get your defensive back in Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So you get those two things. Now you already have one of the best defensive back rooms in the easily in the NFC South.
And you had two more fifth round picks, by the way.
Well, no, yeah, you had three fifth round picks in that in this draft, and you know your quarterback room is disgusting. It's horrible. You got Kellen Mond in there.
You got Kellen Mond. You got five interceptions, boy. And then you
Nathan
have
Peterman, baby.
Mr. PEDs himself, Jake Haener. So
right, and not to mention the GOAT himself, Derek Carr.
Yeah.
I mean, Lord save us. But I think it's a great pick. I think Spencer Rattler is somebody who, I mean, you're taking a chance. You put him
the ceiling's high.
You put him in a system where Drew Brees is he's a film guy. He's been working with the quarterbacks with the film. Right. So that's already a plus for them. He's going to be able to learn from one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. So
that's already a plus.
It's a work in progress. You don't know what it's going to be. It's a project. So I hope it turns out well, mm-hmm. but I thought that taking him, there were no downsides of taking him. So I like that pick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm going to let Andre go on his rant. I feel like based off how Derek Carr performed last season, kind of any quarterback would have been better. And I feel like Spencer mm-hmm. Rattler would be a good fit.
I mean, like Derek Carr played very well at the end of the season when it was too late.
He stinks.
If he could play good and aggressive like he did at the end of the season, throughout the season, I think they'll be better. Also, the offensive line sucked last year. You have to say that.
It was terrible.
I mean, it was awful.
He was running for his life the whole damn...
I mean, I would have been scared, too, if I had to play under center over there.
It's terrible.
That is true.
But picking Spencer Rattler is a very interesting pick for the Saints because
liked it.
Years ago, Spencer Rattler was in that conversation about being a first-rounder, and the talent was, and it's still there. I mean, if he can reach his ceiling in New Orleans, he may be the future of the organization. And if, like you said, if Carr can't get you what you want long term, he's going to be the guy, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I think it was also a great move when you look at, like you said, the New Orleans quarterbacks right now.
Oh, it's terrible. Your
number two is literally Nathan Peterman, who threw five interceptions in one game. How's that possible?
I feel like if you put me in a game,
I'm not throwing five interceptions.
Well,
okay.
I don't think so.
Maybe seven.
I'll take the over in 5.5.
Andre Schamp on interceptions against like the Jets. Well,
I'll take the over.
I mean, I'm saying personally, I'm throwing the ball away. So
okay, I don't know. Yeah,
you get sacked before you do that.
Exactly, but that doesn't count as an interception. and so I think Spencer Rattler is going to be able to go and be QB2 right on the spot. But Any other things you wanted to share from this past weekend before I ask, what was your favorite moment of this draft?
I haven't been excited about a draft in a while, so I'm just very excited to see how this season plays out.
Hands out.
Yeah. My favorite moment from the draft was watching Kool-Aid McKinstry get the call to be a New Orleans Saint. He listened to the coach, listened to what they were saying, and he hangs up the phone, kind of got a tear going down his eye, and you see him say, "I'm a Saint." And
read the business.
And that was really cool for me, especially because I love the pick. I love that we actually made a trade and got someone in need. Like, that was like the first time we've done that in so long. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool. And I thought it was really awesome to see that because he's a great young kid and he's good. He's a damn good football player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, can't go wrong when you're picking a guy from the University of Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. And when Nick Saban's talking good about him after.
Yeah.
Well, Did you have a favorite moment, though? Did you have a favorite moment?
I mean, just kind of piggybacking off of Michael. I mean, like, just seeing, you know, men don't get emotional. Yeah, you know, men don't cry. So when a girl gets to see a man cry, no, I'm just kidding. But, like, you know, they've worked so hard to accomplish these dreams. I mean, like, when you're a college football player, like, you don't get to go home for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and, like, just to see your dreams pay off. I mean, it's just the best thing in the world. So,
mine is definitely going in the opposite direction of y'all's. mine is when the famous YouTuber and streamer Sketch went out and announced the pick. I've never seen an NFL draft crowd so hyped to see literally like a fourth, fifth round pick. So I just think that was so funny.
That was awesome.
Also, was honorable mention is when...
What's up, brother?
Was when they asked Brian Thomas's parents. They were like, you know, how far did this family come? Obviously,
Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
They were looking for a sob story. She goes, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. that's what the reporter asks. I mean, gets for asking a dumb question.
Right.
So,
or not clarifying what she meant.
Right. I mean, I wish she would have said, like, approximately 12,000 miles or something like that. But guess what time it is, y'all?
Poo-poo Broussard.
Yeah, yeah. It is time. It is now time for the best segment of the week. It's time to give out the poo-poo Broussard. And this goes out to the worst performance of the week in sports, whether that may be a player, an organization, an owner, a coach, a fan base, literally anyone. So who are you going with this week?
So this past weekend was Worlds. Worlds actually ended yesterday. Side note, I'm a Babs fan. Babs is a gym near Texas. And
to clarify, this is dance, everyone.
No, it's cheer.
Cheer. Sorry.
Are you serious? I hope you get canceled.
I sold.
Anyway, Panthers, Babs, they go to a gym near Dallas, and I love them. Shout out Kennedy Bell. I love you. Deserve the gold. Anyways, Worlds is all level six teams. Level six cheerleading is very complicated, and they have these things called spotters. So when they fall, spotters are supposed to catch them, not just kind of stand there with their mouths open. So I saw a stat. This is the second most fall spotters have allowed at Worlds. That is ridiculous. These girls are 10 feet up in the air, and they're just smacking the ground, and spotters are like, oh, I don't know. So my poo-poo Broussard goes out to these spotters at Worlds because you guys need to get better. Because y'all are just letting girls hit the ground.
Okay, here we
Seriously.
Go.
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's a good one.
It's not funny. Like, these girls are, like, dying.
Yeah. Okay, they're not dying, but they are probably getting injured.
Yeah. Okay. Not dying. Concussions.
So mine's pretty.
Mike and I have the same one.
Yeah, it's pretty easy. First of all, my recent poo poo broussards have been the Chicago White Sox. We just swept the Rays. I don't know how that happened, but we swept the Rays. So now I got these trash New Orleans Pelicans ruining my weekend. So it's been a great season. Awesome season.
Yeah.
Fantastic. 49 wins, one short of 50 would have been the second time in franchise history to get 50 wins, which is crazy to say, but but it's okay. man, Zion,
you want me to tag along?
Let's do it together.
It's Zion, piss pathetic. I'll say it right now.
It's terrible.
Like, it's horrible.
Zion getting hurt, it's not his fault, but Zion gets hurt.
I mean, at the worst time of the. Brandon Ingram turns into, I mean, couldn't even tell you.
A sissy.
You know, somebody caught him like a Pokemon.
So the problem is you can't have two number two guys trying to be a number one guy.
Well,
you can't have that.
First off, I'm tired of looking at CJ McCollum smiling all the damn time. There ain't, you know what?
Well, dude, I'm looking at
you know what? Funny. I'm gonna use a Cam Thomas quote. CJ, stop smiling. I'm tired of seeing your damn face. Make a damn basket every now and then. I mean, you are so inconsistent. Next up, Brandon Ingram.
Next up.
I mean, just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're supposed to be a shot creator, and you can't even make a shot.
Right.
Yeah.
You're supposed to use, I mean, you're Skindiana Bones, man.
What? Nah.
Let's see. What else I have? Organization, just in general, shambles. Thanks, Gail Benson.
And
thanks, Willie Green.
I'm tagging back in.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Trigger wants to not
one for seven.
One for seven.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got you, man.
Like, B.I., 1-for-11 in game four. We got game three, fourth quarter. Herb Jones, one of my favorite players on this team, is walking back the court. Like, man, there was no effort. Play. There was no effort, no playoff intensity. It's like you lose Zion and you lost all hope. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay. That doesn't sit right with me. Nope. And it sucks because Brandon Ingram was one of my favorite players to watch all season. Yeah. I backed him every step of the way. And to have the playoff experience that we had is disgraceful. It's pathetic. It's just frustrating. I went to the game last night and it was awesome. It was a great game and
great atmosphere. You can't say the crowd wasn't it.
We played great.
Shout out Jonas because that's the only one that plays with freaking effort. Hey, even Larry, though you might Larry suck Nance, on
that
defense.
Boy Larry played good too. I don't want Aidan Larry.
Najee Marshall, you played Najee Marshall.
But that's the other thing. When Najee Marshall is your best. Most trustworthy scorer in a basketball game, you're not going to win.
It's an effort, and it's coaching, and just disastrous right now.
Hey,
so
Brandon Ingram gone, CJ McCollum gone.
Trade them all. You know what I was doing today,
keep
Michael?
Herb, keep Trigger, keep Zion.
I'll wrap this
Everybody
up.
Else could
I'll
go.
Wrap this up.
Yeah, wrap it up.
You know what I did today?
What'd you do today?
I didn't even pay attention in class today. I will admit it. You know what I was doing?
What was you doing?
I was on the ESPN draft simulator. I mean, sorry,
The trade simulator. Man, I've been doing that too. I ain't even going to care.
Us Pelicans fans don't ask for much, man. We don't. We're not expecting to go to the damn
David
NBA
Griffin, make
finals.
A move. Make a move, David Griffin.
We just want to win the first freaking series, and we couldn't do that since Anthony Brown Davis. So
I will say I had you guys winning game four.
Yeah.
I mean, I had us winning the damn series, but
I mean, I'm a Rockets fan, so
I mean, y'all are.
Would you rather be me?
Sorry.
Oh, but thank you, poverty.
But New Orleans Pelicans, say it. You
are the damn poo-poo Broussard of the week.
How about not even of the week?
Yeah,
the month,
the year, the decade,
of the month. We'll give them the month. But that is going to do it for us. Thanks for tuning in for that rant. Just. Pretty much, and for listening to the podcast. Thanks, Raven and Michael, for joining me. I'm Andre Champagne, and this has been the Hodges Huddle.